Welcome, everyone, to the Tuesday Talk Show here on KAJO Radio. I'm Chuck Benson. We'll ask you to hold your phone calls until after the top of the hour. That number, if you want to jot it down, is 541-472-1270. When you hear the sound of the radio coming back through your telephone, that means that you're next in queue. And as soon as we complete the thought that we're on, we'll put you on the air live and let you air your comment or question to our guest. Some strange scheduling here, but we want to tip our hats to certainly for Bill Hickerson this morning, a member of Search and Rescue, and we're here to talk about actually cleaning up the forest. And this is something we talked about just briefly, and I know there are more people on their way to back you up here, Bill, so we'll encourage them to arrive as soon as possible. In the meantime, welcome to the microphones of KAJO Radio. Thank you for joining us this morning. Explain the project that we're talking about here today in terms of cleaning up the forest.
Well, if you don't mind, I'll give you a little backstory on why Search and Rescue, you know, even got involved mm-hmm. in doing this. Normally,
sure.
we're searching for lost people and that. What happened was this last winter, we went out on a mission up Shan Creek Road, and we ran into a rock slide about 4 miles up the road, and we couldn't go any farther forward, so we had the big snow cat on the back of the, the one-ton truck, fifth-wheel trailer, and it's about the size of a semi. You know, it's a big piece of machinery, and it came to a point where we were going to have to back down this logging road to get turned around to head in, a different direction. Anyway, as we started backing, we had to take the snow cat off because those of you that are familiar with Shan Creek Road, it's a very steep logging road, and I might mention the 1,000-foot cliff that's on one side of you. Anyway, we got the snowcat off of the trailer and started backing back down the road to try to find a wide spot big enough to get us turned around in. We need an area about the size of a half of a basketball court to get this piece of equipment turned around in. So as we were backing down, every wide spot in the road that we came to, we either found a burnt out car, a pile of trash, we'd go to another one, there'd be like where people had been partying and, you know, burnt pallets and hundreds of nails, you know, on the ground where, you know, we can't be turning around there, or we'll end up flattening all of our tires. We even found people living in some of the wide spots, what I guess we'd call homeless people, but, you know, they have kind of a, you know, an old beat-up trailer pickup or something or other. Anyway, it ended up, we had to back 3 miles down off of that mountain. Took a long time, was kind of scary, actually. We got back to the SAR barn, and it was just a few more days, and we were going to have our normal monthly SAR meeting. And I'd been thinking about this thing the whole time. It's just like, you know, here we have this beautiful forest, and we have all this trash that's been hauled out into it for whatever reason. I don't know why people do what they do. So I spoke to the members of the SAR, and, when you see a problem, oftentimes maybe it's your responsibility to figure out how to solve the problem. So I talked to the SAR members, explained what had happened, said, what do you guys and gals think about maybe us taking a day and cleaning some of this trash up? And I'm not the only one, you know, your listeners see as they go out in the forest, they see the same thing I do, this trash that's just discarded in a wide spot over the bank. So the members, they were into, you know, doing something about it. So that's kind of, we didn't start out to save the world or anything. We just want to be able to turn our search and rescue vehicles around,
I understand backing that long trailer down that narrow road with a 1,000-foot drop on one side would certainly get your attention. Now, the county commissioners just passed a new ordinance outlawing or at least criminalizing or making it illegal to discard things along the side of the road. Did that come from Search and Rescue? Did that evolve?
I don't believe so. I mean, I don't really have any backstory on, you know, why I mean, I've lived here in Grants Pass my whole life. I think it's always been illegal to dump, you know, stuff out in the forest. And I mean, you know, when I was growing up, there was some, but not nearly as bad as there is today. I mean, it's a real mess out there. So we're going to, on October 14th, we're going to go out and, clean as much up, as we can in a day. We've developed some partners. We have the Josephine County Solid Waste folks have granted us $2,000 to pay for things like trash bags and latex gloves and some of those little picker-upper things that, you know, so you don't have to bend over, you know. And, of course, some of it's going to go for advertising the event and that. So they have helped us. And then SOS Sanitation is giving us, as we collect the garbage and put it in big dumpsters, they're giving us free dumping of that. And they're providing the 3 20-yard boxes that we're going to try to fill. We're going to have, I don't want to talk too much just because some of the other folks won't have anything to say, but we are going to concentrate on 5 roads. We're going to concentrate on the Briggs Valley Road, which is at the top of Hayes Hill, the Waters Creek Road, which is just kind of near Wonder, the Shan Creek Road, which is the one that I was backing down, Spencer Creek Road, and you'll have to give me a second to think of the fifth one.
All right. Well, it's a test, and you have 80% so far.
Excellent. That's about how I did in high school,
that's
too.
That's passing, so, isn't it?
Yeah.
All right. If a person has other suggestions for areas to clean up, is there a way to get that word to you, and how do they do that? Do you have that information yet?
We have the Josephine County Search and Rescue. We have a website. I think you just type in there, Josephine County Search and Rescue, and I believe it comes up. And I think that would probably be a way of getting that information to us. Every road you go out is going to have garbage on it, except, believe it or not, I mean, you know, we have all these fires burning around us, and it's got us all excited, but one of the roads that we were looking at cleaning was the Taylor Creek Road, which is down just past Indian Muriel, Indian Muriel State Park there, and we went up that. No garbage on it at all. It's all burned up. All those fires we've had out in that area, it's all gone. And while
so there's a positive aspect.
That's the only one I can think of okay. Having a big fire.
All right. All right. Well, thankful the smoke has cleared at least a little bit here today. It is not quite as hazardous, unhealthy for sensitive groups as the last I heard right now. But in terms of your efforts at search and rescue, who else is involved? Do you have? Can you?
Well, let's see. We've talked about the, of course, the BLM. We're going on BLM and Forest Service lands. So Anna will be here in just a minute. She's kind of the BLM representative, and the Forest Service guys just, you know, shoot, you know, they're busy, you know, trying to take care of these fires. So they, while we've got them as partners, they're too busy to come for a radio show right now. They got a forest on fire.
Got their hands full right
they
now.
They do. And let's see. I see Carrie's coming in behind me here somewhere. He'll have some more.
He better have chocolate in his hands when he comes
well,
in.
I was eating a donut out in the car when the radio lady came out and got me, you know, so. Morning, Gary.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Kerry Cowd has just joined us here. Scheduling conflicts here. We apologize for that, Kerry. Once again, welcome. Bill has certainly been enlightening us as to the plans coming up for October 14th.
Yes.
Okay. And it originated with SR, Search and Rescue. Who else is involved in this organization?
Well, as you mentioned, the Rogue Valley?
It's the Solid Waste. Josephine County Solid Waste
right.
Committee, and it's an organization that oversees the trash removal, in our county, and I guess there's some I don't know much about. I never knew anything about them until I seen they had maybe some money we could.
Right. Well, apparently one of their missions is to clean up trails.
Mm-hmm.
So that's very much where they're engaged in, is going around to a lot of the different trails within the county, cleaning up trash, that sort of thing, and really appreciate them coming alongside of us. It's a wonderful thing.
So it's turning into be a community effort to reach
yes.
out and clean up a forest lands, at least to the point where it's not as ugly as it could be.
Right, but I think that's the great thing about it, is it's not about SAR, it's about our community. And I think when you have these different groups come in like this, we're coming together as a community to take back our community in a sense, you know, to clean up the areas that, it doesn't take you long on a forest road to just feel your heart sink. When you come around a corner and you see a burned out vehicle or an RV or a pile of trash or something, it's like, that is not how this is supposed to be. So let's get it back to how it should be.
All right. Well, a noble cause, no doubt. Now, are we focusing on the roads? And I just mentioned earlier that the mm-hmm. county commissioners just passed a new ordinance. I think Public Works is really taking a look at a lot of these roads out here.
Hmm.
Legally are removing a lot of these things, and it's illegal to dump trash alongside the roads. Will we be getting off the roads at all?
We are going to... We are going to go off of the wide areas just because, you know, the darn trash is there, and it's just as ugly over the bank as it is setting up in the middle of, you know, in a turnout. We actually are going to have our steep rescue team there to get some of the areas. When the people are getting rid of this trash, they just find the steepest cliff they can find, back up to it, dump the
over.
Load, mm-hmm. and then skedaddle out of there. So there's, you know, there's some places like that. You were asking about some of the other partners that we have. Is part of our trash committee, one of our members, Jerry, he's gone out to the local tow truck companies because we found five cars and a boat. In the forest.
Yeah.
We kind of grinned about that one even.
Right. Didn't have animals 2x2 on it.
It did not have that. Just was a lot of bullet holes in it.
Right.
He's gone out and got half a dozen of them lined up to actually help pull these vehicles out and get them out of the woods. And Anna... with the BLM here.
And Anna's just joined us. Welcome, Anna.
Hey, thanks for having me.
And Anna, she has a lot of experience mm-hmm. because this is partly what she does in the BLM is she was a big asset when she came to our first meeting and kind of explained to us what we can do and what we can't do and the things that we're going to have trouble to do, and moving the cars, believe it or not, are the hardest thing to do. And I'll let her kind of explain.
Anna, we'll get to you right after this word. I've got to pay some bills here. Welcome back. Tuesday Talk Show in Progress, ladies and gentlemen. We're talking about some forest cleanup here from BLM. Anna has joined us. It is Anna, right?
Yes.
Okay. What can we do and what can't we do on this cleanup day?
So on typical cleanups, we have to, if there's a vehicle involved, we have to do our law enforcement due diligence to find that registered owner and get that registered owner to pick up the vehicle. And if we can't, we are, by law, we have to hold it for so many days so that we can do my law enforcement can have their time to finish out their paperwork so that we can legally remove that vehicle. And it could be anywhere between 3 days to 10 days. to make sure we have enough time to remove that vehicle, get the proper paperwork, get DMV paperwork so that my contractors, whether it be the contracted out vehicle vendor that goes, the tow company that goes and removes the vehicle, or Cascade Metals, as you said, who's willing to assist us in this cleanup, which is great, they can legally take it and retain the title for the DMV.
Okay.
So that's our process.
Are we starting on that process now so that we're ready on the 14th?
Yes.
Okay. How many have you identified? Do you know yet?
I've got five for this cleanup alone, and we've got over 200 in the whole county.
Over 200?
Did I mention a boat?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's the loathe boat.
There's a lot of vehicles out there, unfortunately. So we're kind of backlogged, but we're trying to focus on more priority areas.
Right.
You know, that was something that Anna brought that really opened my eyes was we thought we could just go out there and start cleaning things up. But then you find out, no, you're dealing with different jurisdictions, whether it's BLM, it's forestry, it's the county. Yeah. And obtaining those permissions to then deal with those things, in the case of the vehicles, getting the registrations and the proper paperwork. And all of a sudden, this thing grew into a different animal. So, you know, it was really a wonderful thing when Anna came along to educate us on that and help us facilitate that. So here again, another situation where, you know, search and rescue is now working with BLM and forestry, and that's how it should be.
Has everything come together yet? Are we poised to really do this on the 14th of October?
We on the search and rescue side, we're ready to rock and roll. We're hoping that we gather some enthusiasm in the public and they come and join us. Our plan is to meet at kind of behind the grandstands there at Josephine County Fairgrounds along Redwood 199 Redwood Avenue there. And from there, we will break into teams with the search and rescue members kind of leading up that team, and depending on how many volunteers show up. We've had overwhelming response. Everybody we've talked to, you know, friends, family, and that, they're like, you know, we want to be involved. And we, you know, we were kind of like, oh man, what are we going to do now? You know, so we are set to go do this. I mean, we're hoping that it's not as smoky, and we would love it if it you know, we had a couple of rains to settle the dust, and I understand there's supposed to be a solar eclipse that day. So, I mean, we're...
So the stars are aligning for this.
That's right.
That's what it seems like, yeah. So, you know, bring those funny little welding glasses, you know, if you decide to volunteer, and so you can watch the... So we'll take a few minutes off, watch the solar eclipse, and... try to get this trash cleaned up.
How many people do you need, and how do I volunteer? Who do I call? How do I check a website? What do I need to do to be a participant in this?
Mm-hmm. I think we would like to see probably 100 folks out there, and we would love to have some groups. If you have a community group that you'd like to come out with and be a part of it, we'd love to have you.
You have to be over 18.
Yes,
we've I don't know, there's some lawyer thing about that, I guess. So over groups with members over 18.
Right. And a place you can go to sign up. We're going to be dispersing a lot of posters around town. You can't miss them. They will be day glow orange, okay, that, in keeping with our colors. But if you go on the internet and you go to this email address, and this is all lowercase, bit.ly/forestroadcleanup. That will take you to the, for lack of a better term, the application form to say, hey, I want to be a part of this. And that's where you'll sign up. That way we know how many folks we're anticipating. And we can, you know, provide the staffing for that and see that it gets pulled off.
Okay. Staffing. Logistics here seem to be fairly huge. What goes into planning this? What are you going to have on?
You got to realize we sort of train for this sort of logistic thing in search and rescue. it, you know, when we have a mission, we use the incident command system where, you know, there's a commander and then we all string out behind it. So, you know, planning, there isn't much planning in this. This is just how we operate. It's how we function normally. So all we're doing is we're going to treat this just like a mission. And as the members of the public that want to get involved come, we're going to dovetail them into search and rescue teams. And we're going to go out and clean up as much trash as we can in 6 or 7 hours.
All right. Anna, legally, you're the law enforcement side here. Is everything in a row? What do you need?
We need, like you said, we need volunteers. As for our side, we're ready to go, ready to rock and roll. We've got trash bags and all the pickers, and so you just need some bodies to help us clean up.
That's right.
All we need is bodies. And once again, that's bit.ly/forest cleanup.
Forest Road Cleanup.
Forest Road Cleanup. That was my writing. I couldn't read.
And it's all lowercase.
All lowercase. All right. Gary, last shot here. We have about a minute left in this half hour.
Okay.
So what do people need to take away from this program? We reviewed it. It's coming up October 14th. Anything else we need to know?
Well, you know, I think an important thing is the solution often starts with us. And we're just calling a whole lot of us's to show up. And to do this for our county, for our community, and you're going to probably make some new friends along the way, too. And give back into this beautiful place that we are blessed to live in.
All right. Well, thank you very much, Kerry Kell, Bill Hickerson, and Anna, last name?
Tankersley.
Tankersley. Stay right there. We'll be right back. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to the Tuesday Talk Show in two segments today. We want to thank, first of all, this group for jumping in here. We certainly appreciate their efforts, and you'll be hearing more about this effort right here on KAJO Radio. In the meantime, this is KAJO, Grants Pass, Oregon. Tuesday Talk Show continues here this morning. Thank you for joining us here. It is a bit of a different Tuesday Talk Show today. We have another topic coming up here in the second half of the program as we talk about, welcome to the microphones of KAJO Radio, Constance Bradley. Constance, thank you for coming in this morning. You're with the Edgewater Christian School. That's a new school that has it opened yet or is about to open?
We are on day two.
You're on day two. That many. This is a brand new school in Grants Pass. It must be intimidating to put together a new school. When we talked earlier, you mentioned that you had identified an area of need for schooling locally.
Yes.
What was that area? What did you discover that made the hierarchy at Edgewater put together this new school?
Yeah, so the need for the school has come from a couple of years in the making. So I am pretty involved in the homeschool community, and so I saw a huge influx in the need of a variety of education opportunities whenever COVID came into play. Most of the private schools here in our community were full, and so we saw a big influx of moms looking for ways to educate their children outside of what the government schools were offering during COVID. And so when that happened, we had a huge influx, and having conversations with them, none of them were looking to homeschool their kids. And so that started the interest of learning, okay, well, I didn't personally agree with what was going on in the governmental schools, so I was homeschooling my own children, and seeing the need growing rapidly and all of our private schools being full. The conversation had already started with Edgewater with a different team, and that ended up not processing through the first time. And so we all were still hopeful that we were going to have a school at some point at Edgewater, and just waiting for God's perfect timing. And, you know, when he calls and asks you to do something, it's usually a pretty heavy weight on your heart. And I knew just through those conversations with other parents and the desire for us to have a school at Edgewater, that started the conversation. And we started saying, hey, yes, this is going forward. And the response was very positive and proved everything that we knew in our hearts that we needed to be true. We have 150 kids enrolled and about 75 of them over in class right now. And so the need and the intimidation, I guess, for starting a school, yes, it's definitely great. And our enrollment, I believe, proves that there is a community need there. Our other private schools, they're seeing a huge uptick in their enrollment as well. So
I know all the private schools saw enrollment decline. Those students had to go somewhere. Now we're finding out where they're going.
Yes.
And in my research, I was, well, there were two really well-known Christian schools here in the area. But in my research, I found out we've got about 7 or 8 Christian schools here, yes, and now counting Edgewater. What kind of facilities do you have to put together, and what kind of staff do you have to put together to handle 150 students, brand new school?
Yeah, so Edgewater, as our community knows, is amazing and very generous. So we are at the Edgewater facilities, and it definitely looks a little different over there this week. We've taken over all of the main office and main building. So we're sharing facilities with staff over there right now. And so we have 12 teachers and 2 administrators, and yeah, so we have K through 8, so we're not a full K-12 yet, but K through 8, so we have a teacher for every lower and upper grammar grade, so K through 5, and then for our logic school, so we're a classical education, so instead of a middle school, it's called logic school, and in our logic school, we have 3 teachers, and they teach specialized subjects for 6 through 8, so our 6 through 8th graders are rotating classes. And then we have 3 electives, and so we have 3 elective teachers for that.
What kind of accreditation do you have to accrue or get on board in order to really say that we have K through 8 school here and you'll get the education that you're looking for?
Yeah, so accreditation is really an interesting topic, and for a really long time, accreditation meant a lot. Mm-hmm. And so there's ingrained, especially in us who are a little bit older, it's ingrained in us to look for accredited schools. What I have learned in my research through just understanding what it takes to open a school, accreditation, while yes, very important, it really doesn't prove that they are getting a good education. If you are following test scores and seeing the performance of what students are walking away in governmental schools, which are accredited schools, is pretty poor. And if you look at classical education, those scores are through the roof. Not all classical schools are accredited, but most classical schools are teaching the same type of curriculum. And so we are using a company called Memoria Press, which is a classical Christian curriculum company. They are accredited through Classical Latin Association. We are a member of that association. You cannot be accredited without being established for at least a year to prove that you have enrollment and staff and are actually progressing through a curriculum. And there's a lot more nuanced things that go into receiving accreditation, at which we're working towards, but we can't even apply until we've been in session for a year. So we'll be getting multiple accreditations because classical schools, although it is ancient education philosophy, it's a newer concept for a lot of people. So accreditation, yes, but it is at least for a year for us to get that.
Describe the differences in education as opposed to a public school to Edgewater Christian School.
Yeah, so the difference between classical and modern education is really modern education is taking a subject and studying it individually, where classical education is focused on the Western expansion and how America even came to be, studying through the Romans and the Greeks. And also with that is a big portion is studying Latin. And Latin is really the beginning stages of the English language. So when you can understand Latin, you can then break down the English language that we are using today. So a big part of classical education is studying Latin. And then also it is works along the developmental stages of a child. So we call it like the polyparrot stage when they are in the younger ages, which if you've ever been around little kids, you know, they just repeat back everything that you say. And then they grow into these little beings that ask lots of questions and want to understand the why. And that's our logic phase. So that's our sixth through eighth graders. And then high school is the rhetoric phase, where they're really taking all of that information that they have learned and questioned and understood and being able to give that back. So being able to write and speak well. And it's all intertwined. So it's not individual. It's teaching virtue and teaching kids how to think instead of what to think. If you think about that in a class, you're reading through a textbook, you're told what the information is and you regurgitate it back. In classical education, there's lots of questions of why did this happen and what do you think about that? And then now you need to prove your thought process through it. So it's more of how to think instead of what to think.
Okay, so we've compared public education with Edgewater Christian School curriculum right now. Is there a difference between the other ecumenical schools other than just the religious aspect?
Yeah, so a lot of the private education opportunities here, there's one other group in town called Classical Conversations that does classical education. Every other private school that I am aware of is teaching from a modern education standpoint.
All right, so everybody's probably close to the same page right now. Yes. How did you go about finding teachers for a brand new school?
Well, all of our teachers are experienced. Most of them have master's degrees and have made a career switch from either a public education, some from the private sector. But for the most part, they're all very well experienced in education and are seeing the difficulties of it and where it's not working and are looking for change. And we have spent a big part of our summer training to be classical educators. So we took a trip up to Moscow, Idaho, which is the Logos school there, is like the mecca of classical education. We learned from people who've been doing it for the last 40 years. And we also had another seminar through the curriculum that we're using, and they have been doing it for the last 22 years. So educators are continuing to learn, just like our students.
All right. We're talking about, obviously, education at our brand new religious school, Edgewater Christian School, here today. We're going to continue right after this word. Welcome back, everyone. Tuesday Talk Show in progress. Let's see. Constance Bradley is our guest today. Constance, it's under the auspices of the Edgewater Christian Church, but the real name of the school is?
Rogue Christian Academy.
Rogue Christian Academy. Okay. And we've talked about a lot of things about putting a brand new school together right now. So let me ask you about the hierarchy, the oversight for this school. Public schools have school boards. Do you have a school board? Who's in charge here?
We do have a school board, and there are five members on our school board, and they are amazing.
Okay. How were they chosen?
So how were they chosen? The Edgewater board for the church was the ones who selected our board. There was also, you know, obviously some recommendations and people that were told to them, you know, we think they would be great, but they ultimately selected who was on the board.
Okay. What kind of, and we don't need specifics, but what kind of cross-section of people are on that board right now? Can you outline that for us?
Yeah, definitely. So I can tell you who they are. Danny York is our board chair. So was on Three Rivers School Board for 8 years. So he's well experienced in running a school board and the ins and outs of what a school is. And then we have Jim Brumback, who's very involved in the community. And we have Eric Henderson. He is running our security team. He was a business owner for a really long time in town, also a well-known name. We have Charity Heverly. She is very involved in kids in general with foster care and homeschooling her own five kids. And so she's very knowledgeable when it comes to education as well. And the last board member that we have is Debbie Dennis, who has been running her own private school for the last 40 years.
It sounds like you have an experienced crew there. Yes. Nationally, the headlines are parental involvement. Tell me about parental involvement at Rogue Christian School?
Rogue Christian Academy.
Rogue Christian Academy.
Yeah. So, a big difference that I believe Rogue brings to the table is that we are partnering with our parents. So many complaints that we heard in planning the school and then when we were doing our family interviews was that our parents have no idea what their kids are learning throughout the day. So we wanted to make sure that our parents were fully informed and that they would always know where they were as far as what they were learning and how they were doing and progressing through the curriculum. So we have daily communication through as far as lesson plans, and they know exactly what is going to be taught throughout the day through our Quick Schools system that we use to communicate to our parents, as well as every single week they go home with a sheet. So there's full disclosure on what's coming up for their next week. And then all grades are turned in by Friday by five. So every single week, there's no, oh, I wonder where they're at. And you have to wait 6 weeks to see that, oh, they weren't doing well. So we're addressing that head on, as well as we have parent volunteers that are helping make all of this happen, that they're plugging in, helping in the classroom. But there's open line communication to our teachers. And I think that's the biggest thing that we bring for our parents, is that they're fully informed with their student.
All right. Key question. How is it all paid for?
Well, the tuition. Mm-hmm. So we are a private school and they pay for tuition. We also had an amazing gala over the summer that was a big fundraiser that helped give us some launch money. And then Edgewater is supporting us through offering their building and things like that, too.
Do you get any state monies whatsoever for per student? Nothing.
We do not. We also, another avenue is through grants. We received our first grant just a few weeks ago, actually, and we're going to be pursuing that as we continue to grow through grant money. But absolutely, we do not receive any governmental funding, and nor will we.
Alight. Tuition-based.
Yes.
Is it expensive?
In comparison to a lot of private schools, no. Mm-hmm. But for our community, of course, paying for school whenever you already have taxes that are paying for schooling that's going somewhere else, it's a hard hit for some families. But no, our elementary grammar school is $4,500 for the year, and our Logic middle school is $5,500 for the year.
I see. So it takes a significant decision to send your child to a private school right now.
It does.
That gives you an idea of the cost of education. Are there scholarships available at all, and how does that work at all with the private schools?
It does. We have some very generous donors who are supporting us, and we have set aside some money that people have given to scholarships. And there have been some people who sponsor, you know, just a full tuition for a specific student as well. But yes, we do have scholarships available.
All right. Is there a way to apply for those? Is there criteria?
Yes. So it is needs based. Mm-hmm. And so the process is that they would apply for their student to attend the school. If they need a scholarship, they then get sent the scholarship application that goes to our finance committee, and they review that based on financial need. And if there is financial need there, then it is awarded. If there's no financial need there, then then it's not awarded. So we're not just giving out scholarships. There has to be an actual need.
All right. Classroom work is one thing, but schools are really up about a lot more, about a complete individual. And then we're talking extracurricular activities, athletics, debates. How does that fit in with a private school right now?
Yeah, so we offer three different electives. We have PE, art, and music that mm-hmm. we're offering this year on our rotation. So all of our students will be able to participate in all three of those. As far as athletics and clubs and those types of things, as year one, we are kicking off and we're, getting our academic portion, right?
Yeah.
Getting our academic portion down first. But the nice thing is that if students still want to participate in athletics, especially our middle school students, they can do that through the public school system, because our private school does not offer that. The ruling there is that if our private school offers it, they cannot, but since we don't, they can still participate with public.
All right. You open with 150 students. I'm surprised. We do have a call coming in right now, and I'm not sure. We're just going to throw it out there and see what's happening and say, good morning. Do you have a question or comment for our guest today? You're on the air.
Yes, I do. Number one is, where or how would one make donations, not large ones, small donations? And are they tax deductible? And I'll take my answer over the line.
All right.
Yes, thank you so much. Yes, we do have a donation opportunity on our website at roguechristianacademy.org. top right-hand hamburger button, there is an option that says get involved. You can donate right through there, or you can mail in a check to the Edgewater office at 101 Assembly Circle. And yes, they are tax deductible.
Oh, okay. All right. We're getting down to the very end here. And so what do we need to know about, first of all, Rogue Christian Academy and private schools individually or in total? What do we need to know about this new organization and the organizations that we've been talking about today?
Well, there's lots to know.
Okay.
but the need to know would be that there is a great need for education in our community that is not just at Rogue Christian Academy. There's, like we have talked about, there's other private schools. There's lots of families that are looking for change that also can't afford it. So money sometimes is a barrier. So I think getting involved with our local governmental schools to provoke change there, because really we are just one entity in the education realm, and we're all here to fight for our kids and give them the best opportunities that we can.
Okay. Thank you very much. I appreciate your efforts today. Stay right there. We're getting down to the end of our program. I'm going to see if we can't get our earlier guest in here just for a final word too. Also, if we can get Carrie Cound in here, I think we could just wrap this one up real quickly. Constance, we want to thank you very much. Once again, how do I get a hold of the Rogue Christian Academy?
Thank you so much for having me. It is roguechristianacademy.org.
RogueChristianAcademy.org. That easy.
Not easy.
All right. Hold on. We'll be right back with more.
Are you ready?
Welcome back, everyone. We're wrapping up today's program, a two-part program. Let's see. Constance, I want to thank you very much for your information on Rogue Christian Academy. Once again, best way to reach somebody there and get questions answered?
Yes. Thanks so much for having me. It is roguechristianacademy.org.
All right. And from the first segment right now, Carrie Count has returned on the cleanup coming up October 14th to clean up some roads in our county. It's bit.ly/forest road cleanup. Did I get it right, Carrie?
You got it right, Chuck.
All right. What do you need to have happen?
We'd love to have folks 18 years or older come on out and give us a hand cleaning up the roads so we can get rescue vehicles up there when we need to, and also beautify our forest.
All right. Well, that's the bottom line. And you need, what, about another 100 volunteers is what I hear.
We'd love to have them.
All right. Once again, that website is bit.ly/forest road cleanup. It's all lowercase letters. You can get all the information you need. And once again, Constance, thank you very much for appearing on behalf of the Rogue Christian Academy under the auspices of Edgewater Christian Church. And to both of you, I want to thank you very much for your time today and helping us out here on KJO Radio's Tuesday talk show.
Thank you so much.
All right. Once again, and thank you for listening. Without you, there wouldn't be a talk show at all. So once again, you're listening to KAJO AM 1270, 99.7 on the FM band, and all around the world on KAJO.com.
If you're a veteran with a service-connected disability...